Open our ears and our hearts, dear Lord, to hear your word. I know your voice. I'll start with a confession. I absolutely love the so-called adventure films that fills our television and cinema screens. Jason Bourne, Jack Ryan, James Bond, and many others. I know it's very childish and silly, but a bit of escapism has never hurt anyone. I know perfectly well that these unidimensional superheroes and the situations they find themselves into are totally unrealistic and just a bit of brain chewing gum, but I get a kick out of them all the same. What these guys, as they are overwhelmingly men, what they have in common is that they have learned to manage their fears over and over again. When faced with situations that would paralyze most of us, they are able to think through their options, keep super cool, make a plan, and execute that plan. And of course, they ultimately come out on top. Fantastic. Well, none of that happens in our gospel passage today. In fact, we see exactly the opposite. The disciples are terrified, and they are properly panicking and not managing their fear at all. And quite frankly, we cannot blame them. The storms on the Sea of Galilee are, by all accounts, sudden and absolutely treacherous. And if the disciples are consummate sailors and super experienced fishermen, as they are terrified, it's not for no reason or because they are cowards. Their boat is sinking and they are going to die. So the question they ask in anger to Jesus is, I feel, pretty understandable. What are you doing? Don't you see we are perishing and the best thing you can do is sleeping? Don't you care then at all about us? That sort of reaction sounds very real, and it's not fair to accuse the disciples of whining, as some commentators have done. Their cry is the ultimate cry of fear, of doubt, of abandonment, repeated often in the stories of God's children, as we see in many Psalms, in the book of Job, of course, and many other parts of the Bible. Where is God in the midst of my distress? Has God abandoned his people? Has God abandoned me? It's also a cry repeated in so many ways in the midst of the terrors and distresses of our world today. If God is so great and powerful a creator, if God really cares about this world, then why do events in the world and in our life go so badly? I'm sure that during the last year, many people have felt that way when their loved ones have died of COVID or when they have lost jobs and debts accumulate. Where is God in all that? Why God doesn't care? Many refugees as well, I'm sure, making the crossing from Libya, Lesbos, or other Greek islands, overcrowded in tiny rubber dinghies, have felt that way too. God doesn't care. He has abandoned us. We're going to perish. And of course, many do perish. But the disciples, for their part, do not perish as Jesus calms the waters and still the wind. But what he says next is very surprising. Why are you afraid? What? We're about to drown here, and you ask why you are afraid? Get real. As Jesus seems to be totally dismissing their fear, we may legitimately ask, is he being unreasonable, unkind, uncaring? Well, probably not. Many parents among you, I'm sure, have said to their children when they were having nightmares, there's nothing to be afraid of. It's just a nightmare. It's not real. But have you noticed that Jesus doesn't say that? He says, Why are you afraid? That's quite different. He can't say that there is nothing to be afraid of, because clearly they are in the midst of an exceptionally dangerous situation. So he asks, why are you afraid? And immediately relates it with their lack of faith. Does that mean that they should have expecting a miracle? Not really. As what Jesus is challenging here is not their fear as such, but the way they handle their fear and the way their faith is misplaced. Jesus doesn't blame them for not having enough faith, but that it's misplaced. The superheroes of adventure films put their trust in themselves and are able to overcome all on their own. And this is why they're not real. The disciples, and therefore us, on the other hand, are called to put our trust in God, not in our own ability. It's not our own ability and our own strength that sustain us and protect us. It is the fundamental belief that God cares and that we are not alone. So we are not called to be fearless. We are called to face our fears by knowing that someone greater than our fears is present and is always with us. Fear is entirely normal, and it is even healthy to be conscious of dangers and therefore to feel fear. But it's the way we react to fear which define our faith. God never promised calm seas and auspicious winds, but if he doesn't eliminate the storms in our life, he is with us in those storms. Even though there are fearsome and unjust things in this life, as we see typically in the story of Job, they need not paralyze us. They need not have dominion over us. They need not own us, because we are not alone in the boat. And yet, consider the rest of our passage. After Jesus stills the water and orders the wind to quiet down, after the disciples recognize that even the elements of nature obey their teacher, and after all that was once terrifying has been banished, the disciples are not free from fear. They fear a great fear, says the Greek text. Very strong words. Psalm 107, that every good Jew in Jesus' time would have known by heart, says, he made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad. But in Mark's Gospel, the disciples are distinctly not glad. So why are they still afraid? There are two possible reasons, I think. First, what they feel once the storm has been stilled is the fear of being in the presence of a person who can do things that only God is able to do. Confronted with that, their fear is more akin to reverential awe than to terror. And the Greek word used by Mark can actually be translated like that, awe. But there might be another reason why they are still afraid. They have just witnessed an extraordinary phenomenon, for all intents and purposes, a miracle. And I wonder if they feel a great fear because they sense that this will change everything, especially themselves. They had already seen Jesus performing several healings and exorcisms before, but they had never seen him making the natural world obey him. Now, I'm not going to enter into any discussion on whether or not that miracle really happened. You can have your own personal view on this. But the important thing is what Mark wants to say to us through it. With this miracle, Jesus is showing another reality another dimension and ask the disciples to welcome that new reality and therefore to change. In this very moment, he's drawing them from the familiar territory of Capernaum to the strange and foreign lands of the Gerasenes, to the other side of the lake, as the text says, and therefore out of their comfort zone. That trip will change them from simple fishermen into disciples who will have to welcome a kingdom quite different from the one they would have either expected or wanted. And of course, this is highly relevant to us too. How is God calling us to the other side of the lake? What changes is he asking us to bring in our particular circumstances? In ourselves, in our family, in our church, in our community? There is plenty to fear in these changes, but remember, we are not alone. So I will leave the last word to the lifestyle blogger Manny Hale, who writes, "It's okay to be scared. Being scared means you are about to do something really brave and embrace change. Change can indeed be scary and painful, but nothing is as painful as staying stuck somewhere you don't belong to any longer." Amen.